Hello, this is Wendy Bauer, returning with the Decatur Herald and Review, dated May 25th, 2015. We continue now with the newspaper from today, Memorial Day. We will begin with additional readings from the editorial page. We will have obituaries in just a few minutes. From the editorial page, attitude change is noticeable. There was a time, not so long ago, that gathering a group of Decatur folks for a discussion about the community was a risky proposition. Even those with the best outlooks would have spent a good deal of time talking about what was wrong, and a lot less time discussing what was right. That's not the case anymore. I evidenced that at a meeting hosted by Grow Decatur this week to update community members on what has been happening and to gather information on what some next steps should be. The assessment of where the community stands was honest. There are well-defined plans for developing the Midwest Inland Port, enhancing the city's water supply, and establishing a community marketing and rebranding effort. There is still a lot to be done in those areas, but the City Limitless marketing plan is off to a great start. Dredging of Lake Decatur continues, and the development of the inland port is well on its way. There is another level where the framework is in place for improvement, but the plans aren't as well developed or have hit snags. Those areas include lakefront development, education, grow the middle of the economic spectrum, make the community more vibrant and attractive, and attract more residents between the ages of 20 and 40. The main snag for lakefront development, to use one example, is funding. Areas that need a significant amount of work include addressing workforce development and housing in Decatur. Bruce Nims, one of the founders of Grow Decatur, summed it up best. "We're not done. We've accomplished a few things in our community. We're here to help keep things rolling. We want to take some big steps." More work on some of the specific area of focus will occur in a series of upcoming workshops. Those workshops will be held June 10th through 12th and June 15th through 19th, with the topics each discussion will cover to be announced. The accomplishments are noteworthy, although it's also clear that as a community, we are just scratching the surface of the to-do list. But what was most remarkable about the meeting I attended, and from reports of other similar meetings, is the attitude. Until the last few years, such a meeting would have featured a lot of whining about the impact of outside forces, a lack of cooperation and collaboration inside the community, and a general woe is us feeling. Spurred by some economic momentum and a few successes, the feeling now is that issues can be tackled, that problems can be solved with resources within the community. That feeling isn't present at just Grow Decatur meetings, but can be seen and felt throughout the community. No one should doubt there is more work to be done. The recent momentum is nice, but some of the issues that still need to be addressed are fundamental to the community's success. Specifically, creating more job opportunities and convincing more people who work in the Decatur area to live in the Decatur area are paramount. Outside perceptions of our area will take time and diligence to overcome. There are still plenty of Decatur area residents that refuse to believe the community's situation can improve. But it feels different when those issues are addressed in a positive, proactive, "We can do this" manner. It's exciting to experience and contribute. That attitude change may well indeed be the accomplishment that pays the largest benefits in the long run. And now, Stu Hawbaker, "Spring has blossomed into a beauty." Warm weather, along with timely rainfall in May, brought more beauty as flowers bloomed in dazzling color. Iris bloomed in mid-May with various shades of purple, yellow, and more. Peonies also bloomed about the same time, which almost seemed early since many of us associate them with Memorial Day. Along the east side of my house, lilies of the valley produce little flowers with such a wonderful fragrance. Unfortunately, they don't last very long, as they always seem to catch some type of blight by summer. But they always come back every year, with those sweet smelling flowers. You just can't beat the beauty of spring. In between frequent lawn mowings, there are other things that need to take place this time of year. For the flowers and shrubs, allow spring bulb foliage to yellow and wither to produce food for next year. Plant gladioli, canna lilies, cannas and tuberous begonias now. Prune spring flowering shrubs such as lilac, weigelia, and forsythia immediately after they bloom. Fertilize azaleas after they bloom with a fertilizer of acid-loving plants or for acid-loving plants. Remember to pinch azalea and rhododendron blossoms after they fade. Pinch top 1 to 2 inches of new growth on chrysanthemums to encourage full bushy plants. Apply mulch to your flower beds to help control weeds. Apply preen to keep crabgrass from germinating again. In the garden, thin vegetable row crops to avoid overcrowding. Keep picking asparagus so it will keep on producing. Freeze what you can't eat. Add mulch to help keep weeds under control. Check your vine crops, such as cucumbers, for insects and signs of bacterial wilt that can destroy them. Check around tomato plants for cutworms. Plant more beans and sweet corn. And in my woods and lawn, bush honeysuckle grows like crazy and in some areas absolutely just takes over as it crowds out other plants and shrubs. The shrub grows upright instead of drooping toward the ground and also branches out from the base of the crown, causing the plant to grow both tall and wide. Birds love the plant because it produces red berries in the fall that they eat. Eventually, the seeds pass through their system and fall to the ground where more bushes form. Mice can also spread the population of bushes as they eat and then deposit the seeds even more. This particular variety of honeysuckle is very invasive and spreads quickly. Granted, there are other varieties that make nice shrubs or vines, but this one is a nuisance. And an update on Lucy Goosey. She did not have any eggs and stayed in the pasture for some time until I had to mow again. She was not too happy with me mowing, but did stay around for a few more days. Now it appears she has moved on to greener and taller pastures somewhere else. This morning on my dog walking duty, I heard some geese honking overhead. Maybe it was Lucy saying goodbye. And I will now move on to the obituaries. Cecilia Ann Delgado, from Decatur. Cecilia Ann Delgado, 65, of Decatur, passed away at 11:41 a.m., Friday, May 22, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. Funeral services will be held at 6 p.m. Wednesday, May 27, 2015, at the First Church of the Nazarene, 1177 West Hickory Point Road, Decatur. Visitation will be held from 4 to 6 p.m. Wednesday at the church. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made in care of the family. Arrangements were made by the McMullen Young Funeral Home in Sullivan. Sue Matheny, from Shelbyville. Carol Sue Matheny, 67, of Shelbyville, Illinois, died at 12:35 a.m. Saturday, May 23, 2015, in Shelbyville Manor. A memorial service will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, May 27, 2015, in the First Christian Church of Shelbyville, Illinois, with Reverend Kevin Ray officiating. Memorials may be given to the First Christian Church of Shelbyville, Illinois. Arrangements are by Howe and Yaki Funeral Home, Shelbyville, Illinois. Sharon K. Moore, from Strasburg. Sharon K. Moore of Strasburg, Illinois, died at 12:28 a.m. Friday, May 22, 2015, in her home at Strasburg. Funeral services will be held at 10 o'clock a.m. Wednesday, May 27, 2015, in Grace Lutheran Church, Strasburg, Illinois, with Reverend David Weaver officiating. Visitation will be from 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., Tuesday in the church. Graveside services will be held at 12:30 p.m. Wednesday in Macon County Memorial Park, Decatur, Illinois. Arrangements are by Howe and Yaki Funeral Home, Strasburg, Illinois. Memorials may be given to Trinity Lutheran School Building Fund, Effingham Family Life Center, Exceptional Equestrians of Missouri Valley, or Donor Choice. Donald L. Ortwig. From St. Peter. Donald Don L. Ortwig, 62, of St. Peter, passed away at 3:45 a.m. on Saturday, May 23, 2015, surrounded by his family at his home. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, May 27, 2015, at St. Peter Lutheran Church, with one-hour viewing prior to the service. Reverend William Emmerich will be officiating. Burial will be at the St. Peter Lutheran Cemetery. Visitation will be from 4 to 8 p.m. on Tuesday, May 26, 2015, at Pagel Funeral Home in St. Peter. Memorials may be made to St. Peter Lutheran Church, Lutheran Care Center in Altamont, Illinois, or Donor's Choice. Pagel Funeral Home in St. Peter is in charge of the arrangements. Online condolences may be expressed at www.pagelfuneralhome.com. Everett Patrick, Mount Zion. Everett Patrick, 83, of Mount Zion, Illinois, passed away at 4:20 p.m. on Friday, May 22, 2015, at Heritage Health of Mount Zion, Illinois. Visitation will be held from 4 o'clock p.m. to 7 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, May 26, 2015, at GT Church in Decatur, Illinois. Funeral services will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, May 27, 2015, at GT Church, 500 South 22nd Street in Decatur. Pastor Matt Samuels will officiate. Burial will be in the Macon Cemetery. Memorials may be made to GT Church, and the family would like to extend a special thank you to the staff at Heritage Health of Mount Zion for their excellent care and love they gave to Everett. Mary Frances Perkins of Decatur. Mary Frances Perkins, 90, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday, May 21, 2015, in her home. Mary was born October 31, 1924, in Decatur, Illinois. She is preceded in death by her husband, parents, daughter, Carol Grider, and sister, Ann Doyle. Services to celebrate Mary's life will be 11 a.m., Thursday, May 28, 2015, at Pilgrim Lutheran Church, 2155 North Oakland Avenue, Decatur. Visitation will be 5 to 7 p.m., Wednesday, May 27, 2015, at Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home. Burial will be in Graceland Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, memorials in memory of Mary may be made to Pilgrim Lutheran Church. Bradley David Stoneberg of Mount Zion. Bradley David Stoneberg, 38, of Mount Zion, passed away at 12:03 a.m. Saturday, May 23, 2015, in rural Kirksville, Illinois. A Mass of Resurrection will be held at 10 a.m. Tuesday, May 26, 2015, in Holy Family Catholic Church, with Reverend Joseph Malloy officiating. Burial will be in the Mount Zion Township Cemetery. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation on Monday, May 25, 2015, from 4 to 6 p.m. at Dawson and Wyckoff Funeral Home, Mount Zion. Memorials may be made to Decatur Holy Family School or Illinois Conservation Foundation. Messages of condolence may be sent to the family at www.dawsonwyckoff.com. Dale D. Bundy of Decatur. Dale Butch D. Bundy, age 73, of Decatur, Illinois, died on Friday, May 22, 2015, at St. Mary's Hospital after a brief battle with cancer of lungs that had spread to his brain. The family is being served by the Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home at 2091 North Oakland Avenue in Decatur. Please view the online obituary or send condolences and share memories at www.gracelandfairlawn.com. Michael Dean Couser. Michael Dean Couser, 54, of Decatur, passed away Friday, May 22, 2015, at Aperion Care Center. The family of Michael Dean Couser is being served by Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home, 2091 North Oakland Avenue, Decatur, Illinois. View the online obituary and send condolences to the family at www.gracelandfairlawn.com. Christina M. Harmon of Decatur. Christina M. Chris Hurley Jones Harmon, 86, of Decatur, died Thursday, May 21, 2015, at Heritage Manor, Mount Zion, Illinois. Graveside services will be 10 a.m. Wednesday, May 27, 2015, at Macon County Memorial Park, Harristown, Illinois. Brintlinger and Earl Funeral Home is handling the arrangements. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to Mound Road Christian Church. Keith M. Hazen of Forsyth. Keith M. Hazen, 91, of Forsyth, Illinois, passed away at 8:55 a.m. on Friday, May 22, 2015, at Decatur Memorial Hospital. A service to celebrate Keith's life will be held at 11 a.m. on Tuesday, May 26, 2015, at Forsyth United Methodist Church. The family will receive friends for a time of visitation from 9:30 to 10:45 a.m. on Tuesday at the church. Keith will be laid to rest next to his wife, Eloise, in Shiloh Cemetery, Newcomb Township in Champaign County, with military rites provided by the Macon County Honor Guard. Dawson and Wyckoff North Chapel is assisting the family with arrangements. Memorial contributions may be directed to Forsyth United Methodist Church, Illinois Honor Flight, or the Decatur Kiwanis Golden K. Clifford Robert Henry of Springfield. Clifford Robert Henry, 81, passed away Tuesday, May 19, 2015, at St. John's Hospice. He was born July 22, 1933, in Bloomington. Visitation will be 11 a.m. to noon on Tuesday, May 26, 2015, at Vansel Murphy Funeral Home in Springfield. Graveside service will be held from 1 p.m. on Tuesday, May 26, at Berea Cemetery near Niantic. In lieu of flowers, memorial contributions may be made to Mary Bryant Home for the Blind or the Macon County Animal Shelter Foundation. And now, from our health section, bookmark, author hopes to enlighten workers on toxicity of silica dust. This is written by Bob Falstrom, the Decatur Herald and Review community news editor from Decatur. Leland W. Personette exposes the danger of occupational dust in a new autobiographical book, Dusty Trades. Personette's father, Paul, died in 1977 at age 65 of complications from silicosis, a respiratory disease caused by long-time inhaling of silica dust. Personette, 70, also suffers from silicosis. At risk are workers in abrasives, manufacturing, glass manufacturing, quarrying, road and building construction, miners, sandblasting, and stone cutting. Personette points out that silicosis is an insidious disease, much like high blood pressure. You can breathe in a speck of dust today or tomorrow and not feel the effects. Each speck that attaches itself deep in your lungs over time will become toxic, and your immune system will be compromised. Scarring will develop, and bad things will happen to your body. According to the Decatur Man, more than 2 million workers in the U.S. are exposed to levels at or above the federal limits, and more than 59,000 workers will develop silicosis each year and are at risk for long-term health issues. Silicosis dates back to the ancient Greeks and Romans. There is no cure. Politicians, industry lawyers, and scholars say this disease is no longer a problem, Personette writes. The sand industry has put a lot of resources in fighting any person that files a civil law action. They simply don't want silicosis to become the new asbestosis. In 1959, at age 47, Personette's father, Paul, began working in the dry powder department, technical adhesive, in Evanston, manufacturing mortars and grouts for the ceramic tile industry. 2 years later, Personette dropped out of high school and, with his brother Vic, joined their father in the plant. "We all worked 10 to 12 hours a day, 6 days a week," Personette said. "No one warned us of the hazards of the dust on the job." Personette served in the U.S. Air Force from 1966 to 1970 and then returned to the Evanston plant and worked there until silicosis forced him to retire in 2001. He was the company's environment, health, and safety manager. Personette has lost both kidneys to silicosis and is currently on blood-cleansing dialysis 11 hours a day in his home. "My quality of life has suffered because I was exposed to puffs of dust for many years while making a living," he said. Personette's son, Philip, is helping with marketing Dusty Trades, and his 13-year-old grandson, Tristan, has screen-printed T-shirts promoting the book. Personette is currently reworking Dusty Trades to publish a guidebook on silicosis. "I continue trying to educate people on this danger," he says. Also from the health page, the Dr. Roach column. Dr. Keith Roach, "Control Diabetes to Stave Off Kidney Disease." "Dear Dr. Roach, for the past several years I have had an abnormal creatinine reading. The readings range from 2.2 to 2.9. Every time I go to the doctor I get a different reading. He is very cautious and wants to see me every month, which is economically very difficult. I have had type 2 diabetes but haven't needed medicine since I lost about 40 pounds after my knee surgery, and I have kept it off. My cardiologist says the damage was done to my kidneys when I had the diabetes and is going to stay. I had sonograms of my kidneys and they came back fine. I keep myself hydrated and stay away from salt. Proteins are a little tougher. I see the kidney specialist every 3 months and have my blood taken. My question is, do we consider the readings or do we consider how the patient looks and feels overall? Do I have to be worried about eventually needing dialysis? I am 76 years old and feel fine." And the answer: diabetes, both type 1 and 2, is the leading cause of kidney disease in North America, and the damage that is done usually is permanent, even if the diabetes is controlled. However, progression can be slowed dramatically with good diabetes care. Periodically checking the creatinine level, which is the most common method of monitoring kidney function, is essential, however. Checking every month sounds like it might be more than strictly necessary as long as the readings are not consistently increasing. To slow progression of kidney disease, exercise careful control of high blood pressure in addition to the diabetes. If there is protein in the urine, the ACE inhibitors and angiotensin receptor blockers are more effective than other treatments in preventing progression to dialysis. Salt restriction helps blood pressure control in most people. Protein restriction is probably much less important than we used to think, especially if blood pressure and diabetes are well controlled. However, plant-based diets lead to slower progression than animal-based diets. The decision to proceed to dialysis depends on how you look and feel, not on your numbers. But taking as much control as you can now will help keep your kidneys going for years, and hopefully, decades. Also in Dr. Roach's column, help with insomnia. Dear Dr. Roach, my 32-year-old fiancé gets insomnia a few times a year. He goes 40 hours without getting more than a couple hours sleep. Melatonin doesn't always help. He takes melatonin only when he needs it. He is not on any other medications. He works 3 p.m. to 11 p.m. He had to miss a day of work last week due to the insomnia. He doesn't want to see a doctor about it. Any suggestions? And the answer from Dr. Roach. Insomnia a few times a year commonly is due to stress. So I would first recommend some stress reduction techniques, especially relaxation exercises, including breathing, focused relaxation of different body parts, and positive imagery. Sleep hygiene, avoiding bright lights, especially computer screens, for 2 hours or more before bedtime, having no caffeine after lunch, and getting regular exercise is effective in many people. Alcohol is stimulating for many, so avoid it before bedtime. Melatonin, although it works for some people, is ineffective for many others. I am reluctant to prescribe sleep aids as they can cause people to rely on them after a short period of time, and prolonged use can cause adverse effects, such as driving accidents and falls, especially in the elderly. And finally, an article about a longtime piano teacher who still beams when the light comes on. This, written by Edith Brady Lunny, the Lee News Service writer. From Clinton. Jane Kahn can always tell when the child sitting next to her on the piano bench masters a piece of music for the first time. I have seen the light bulb come on when they learn the notes on the staff and see how it goes. They begin to work the music, said Kahn, a piano teacher for more than 5 decades. Kahn has a hard time coming up with an estimate of the number of students, ranging in age from 8 to various stages of adulthood, who have come to her home for lessons over the years. It's a bunch, I know that, she said. The article has a wonderful picture of Mrs. Kahn seated at the piano, and the caption says, Jane Kahn of Clinton plays piano at the United Methodist Church in Kenny. The longtime piano teacher has held a student recital at the church every year for decades. The article closes with no plans for retirement, Kahn said she will offer lessons as long as students sign up to fill her afternoon schedules. The years go by so fast, it's just what you do and part of who you are, she said. This has been Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, May 25th, 2015. I look forward to reading with you again soon.